is...
Wow! What a week.
What a week. Politrix.
Welcome to Hashtag Politrix with Botsang Modimoame Muilwa. Our next guest occasionally has a problem positioning his microphone. However, we all are confident that once it does, nobody else will come along and use it for their own purposes, unlike if we were in KZN. Here to analyze the past week in politics, and hopefully without getting interrupted, please welcome back Botsang Modimoame Muilwa. Actually, welcome me back, because Botsang has been here.
Yeah, fresh. Welcome back, brother.
Thank you very much.
Mr. S. And it's good to see you. It's been a long time, eh?
It's good to be back. I've been tearing across Botswana for the last 6 weeks. And in the last 3 weeks, I was literally along the Kalahari, along the Namibian border. So I couldn't come back and record. But shout out to Eugene. You guys were amazing.
Yeah, no, he did very well.
You guys were amazing.
If it comes from you, I think Eugene will be very happy.
In fact, I'm a fan of Eugene's political mind and where it comes from. That's why I was like, for me, I'd rather he sits in for me than anyone else.
I think we did very well. Thanks. And also the response from the followers and the subscribers of the show.
Yes, sir.
It was very positive. And I like that. I think that's more important.
Absolutely.
When the content doesn't change.
Yes, sir.
But I will not allow anybody to grab the microphone from me. Anyway, let's get to the business of the day.
Of fake documentation and of Moyos. Let's talk about that.
Ish. It doesn't rain for Minister Motsoaledi and Home Affairs, eh?
So, in fact, what is the issue here?
Okay, the issue is fresh, and this is going to be very interesting. At face value, when this case started, it looked like Mr. Moyo, I always forget his first name, that's Kanda something.
Yes.
Is it not Mpofu? I think it's Mpofu.
Okay.
I think it's Mr. Mpofu. It's that he got a job at an agency of the Department of Economic Development in the Northwest Province.
Sure.
The agency is the Northwest Development Corporation.
Mm.
So he got a job as the CFO, and that's as recent as, you know, last year. Okay, but he has been in the employment of the corporation since 2021. And he has been in South Africa since university days. So what came out was that his work permit, or his residence permit, actually, as a matter of fact, and let's call it, you know, a permanent residence permit, was fake or fraudulent.
Okay.
Now, the question became, how was he employed with a fraudulent residence permit?
Okay.
And that takes me back to, you know, what I always tell people is my expertise, consular services,
sure,
especially dealing with foreign nationals. One, to arrive at a point where you have a permanent residence permit.
Mm.
You come to South Africa either as a student permit or study permit or whatever, which he did have,
sure,
according to, you know, the reports.
Okay.
He studied at the University of Johannesburg. He graduated there. University of Johannesburg has confirmed.
Sure.
Then he moved on due to the number of the years that he had lived in South Africa, as well as the Zimbabwe special permits that South Africa and Zim has.
Okay.
He acquired one, and then he got a temporary residence permit, which is aligned to the study permit.
I was going
to
say the TRP makes sense.
Yes.
But how did he get to a PRP?
Okay, after being a resident in South Africa for a certain period,
okay,
and you have established yourself here, you've got a house, maybe you've got family, maybe you've got a job that you acquired through a temporary permit,
sure,
you can apply for a permanent residence. You know,
okay.
I mean, if the guy has been in South Africa since 2011, it's over 10 years.
Mm.
So he applied for a permanent residence in inverted commas.
Okay. Oh, yeah. It's Kudukwashe Mpofu.
Yes. Kudukwashe Mpofu. Yes. So he applied in inverted commas for a permanent residence permit, which he acquired, again, in inverted commas.
Okay.
That is what is in question. But now, I don't know who blew the whistle on him or on the department in the Northwest to say, but this guy's permit is fraudulent.
Ah.
But he also became a bit cheeky,
okay,
by taking the Department of Home Affairs to court when they delayed to issue him with a permanent residence status. Now, no longer the temporary work permit or temporary residence.
Okay.
When they failed or they delayed to do that, or they declined.
Mm.
But let me tell you, what's the complication? There's two complications here. One, on his side, most people, they use agencies to apply for residence permits or work permits or study permit. They use agencies. So his legal team this past week in court, they argued that it's not him. He applied to an agency. The agency processed the whole thing and they came back with a permit.
So are they blaming the agency for somehow circumventing whatever might have been circumvented, allegedly?
Allegedly, yes.
And that he had nothing to do with it.
It has nothing to do with me. I appointed an agency.
But would agencies do that without you saying, I know someone you can talk to?
Look, Fresh, agencies can do that. And there's been a lot of agencies in South Africa that I personally worked with that were fraudulent, you know, bringing Pakistanis, Bangladeshis, and other nationals. Okay. Because you go there with your documents, your temporary permit. Probably the agency may have, and I don't say that's what happened, may have corrupt individuals within the department.
But
that facilitated that.
An agency, if they have a person on the inside, would pass the cost on to you, surely. So you would be aware.
Well, it depends. I'm not being defensive. I'm just explaining what may have. Obviously, they'll pass the cost to you because there's agencies that are facilitating work permits and study, they're very expensive. It doesn't come cheap. They're generally expensive. And I used to tell people and friends who will come from Zim and other countries who will approach me for advice. And I will say to them, once it starts getting expensive, ask yourself a question. What is it that you are paying for when the doors of the Department of Home Affairs are open?
Yeah, because it's just a facilitation.
It's facilitation. It's a middleman.
Yeah, I'm paying you for the inconvenience of queuing.
Yes, you don't want to queue. And they also come with reasoning like they motivate further. They are used to this.
They know the English too.
They know the English, but the English is the connection. That is one element, Fresh, that I want to focus on.
Sure.
But where it has a problem with us as a nation, particularly a Northwest son like me, it's the employment part. That the person was employed without due diligence. And this is the problem the Public Service Commission, last week I spoke about it with Eugene. The Public Service Commission has come up and say, it's a problem that a lot of state-owned entities or companies or you know, commissions, they don't do due diligence in checking the background and the qualifications of people. In this instance, what was supposed to happen, the normal practice is this agent, and it's an economic development agency, and he's a CFO. That's not a junior position. In a government department, that's a DDG level. And in an agency like development, I can tell you it's senior to DDG. The salary package, it's way above 2-3 million, okay? They were supposed, if you apply for a job with a permanent residence permit or work permit, they were supposed to test that permit with the Department of Home Affairs. And it looks like in this instance, the Agency of the Economic Development in the Northwest Province did not do that due diligence, because should they have done that, they would have picked that up very easily during the period. You know, when you're employed, your qualifications, your background, your ID and everything else gets checked at first instance. If they could have done that, by the time he was employed the first time, they could have picked that up. Not now. And you know what he did now? Only that he took Home Affairs to court for delaying. Then Home Affairs said, no, no, but you were declined this thing because your permit. Now, a serious thing that happened in Home Affairs was when officials of Home Affairs declined his permanent resident status or citizenship, they just declined and left it there. And the reason for decline was that your work permit or your residence permit is invalid. Now, already,
That's a red flag.
It's a red flag, and they did nothing to it. So these are some of the challenges we are faced with. And, you know, also the Northwest Development Corporation, I've got a question for them. Why would they hire a foreign? There's nothing wrong in hiring foreigners. But in a common position, like a CFO, how many people from the Northwest Province could have been qualified and be the CFOs of that entity for them to hire somebody with a residence permit? You know, like I said, let's assume it was the correct residence permit. Let's give him a benefit of the doubt to say he was innocent. But how come does the agency of a state department, provincial one, hire somebody, yes, with qualifications, on a post that is not a scarce a skill inside of
it? Yeah, it's not a specialized skill.
No, it's not a specialized. We have a lot of people who have become accounting graduates who
from the Northwest.
From the Northwest, who have worked in that department or other departments. So that's what happened with Mr. Mpofu's case. But we'll hear as it goes forward. But I can tell you, a lot of heads are going to roll. A lot of hands were involved in this process.
Because he has resigned, obviously.
Yes.
He's here illegally based on what we're hearing.
Exactly.
So as a person, you used to work cross-border. What should happen next?
Well,
typically,
unfortunately or fortunately, I don't know which way to use it, whether I'm talking from the state side or his side, our constitution and the Criminal Procedure Act says they must follow the normal immigration rules and processes. You can't just throw him out. Understand? So he has been charged. That's why he appeared in court during the course of the week for fraud and corruption and being an illegal immigrant.
Sure.
So they must follow processes to first verify and check whether he was aware or not, whether he knew. And whilst that is happening, unfortunately, we have to keep him in the country. He has to stay in the country, especially if he can fend for himself, especially if he cooperates with the authorities.
Sure.
It's not a matter of putting him back in a bus or plane and say, leave the country.
You know, I remember because the 90s, I know a lot of Zimbabweans who were on the way to the UK were passing through here to buy papers. To buy papers, and then they got to the UK on South African passports.
Yeah.
And a lot of them were caught out when those passports expired. Then they have to come back here or try and renew it. And then the system...
It says, but we don't have this passport.
It's not Home Affairs.
Actually, do you know what that led? I was deep in consular services on behalf of Home Affairs.
Yes.
You know, that led to South Africa, to UK first. It rejected our temporary passports. And the second part is the UK actually issued an official statement to say they are now threatening to even not recognize South African valid passport. So we had to change the face and the look of our passport because of that case.
But still, because of all of that and how easy it was to buy a passport and an ID and a birth certificate, it's one of the reasons why now South African passports need a visa to get into the UK.
Yes.
They didn't need
it before. Which we didn't need it before, yes.
We didn't need it before.
We didn't need a visa
but
before.
Now because it was so easy to buy. Because I remember that period. I remember that period because I was staying on Empire Road. I was staying on the corner of Hillbrow and Berea.
Okay.
This was 95, 96.
It was
a new country.
Yes.
So there was a lot of excitement. There was a lot of Africans coming into the country. But also, like I was saying, there were a lot of people selling documents. Because I was offered an ID, a passport, and a birth certificate for 500 rand.
It
was that cheap. I was a student at the time, and I remember saying to the guy, I told the guy that I'm going to be so big, I can't afford my papers not to be in order.
To be a mess, yeah.
That your papers need to be in order. If you're going to be in the background, then do what you need to do. But if you want to fly, make sure your papers are in order.
And fresh crime doesn't pay.
Absolutely.
It always comes out.
Absolutely.
And I always tell people, government renders a service to human beings.
Sure.
Doors are open. Mm. You know, I've had people coming to me to say, I've lost my passport. Coincidentally, this week, we hear the story of a Bafana player who's caught up in Romania because he misplaced his passport.
I don't think he misplaced it.
I think it's the Soccer Federation there.
No, I think.
Or the club. Yeah.
With all due respect, he doesn't want to come and play for Bafana. For whatever reason.
Unfriendly, so when he was left out.
When he can stay there and...
make money.
Exactly.
With
all due respect, I don't believe you've lost your passport.
I agree with you. You know, I laughed when I heard the story. That's bizarre because let me tell you, we have an embassy in Romania in Bucharest.
Sure.
And let me tell you, South Africa is one of the countries where we can issue you a real passport in one day.
And it's national duty.
Depending on circumstances.
And
it's a national duty.
Yes.
Our embassy would have issued that person with an emergency travel certificate or an emergency passport or even a valid passport that would have been couriered through the diplomatic bag from South Africa today. He's a soccer player. He's there legally as a South African citizen. So I didn't buy that story.
Sure. Absolutely not. Are we done with Mr. Mpofu?
Yeah, we'll hear the outcome with Mr. Mpofu. I'm very much interested in the case. One is my province, home province. Two, it's in the consular and diplomatic circles. And three, I'm just interested in what happened when the officials of Home Affairs declined him a permanent residence or citizenship vis-a-vis Northwest Province hiring without doing due diligence. So those are some of the things that we should focus on in future.
Let's move from Mpofu to Ndlovu. And the mic grabbing.
Who's Ndlovu now? Oh.
Dumela Ndlovu, ANC chair.
Is that the name Ndlovu?
Isn't Ndlovu?
Oh, okay.
It's not Ndlovu.
I just know him as Duma.
Sboniso Duma.
Yes, this guy's been in Botswana for too long.
No, I'm looking at your notes here.
Oh, no. Then I made a mistake. Yes, Sboniso Duma.
Sboniso Duma, chairperson of the ANC in KZN.
Yes.
And it's not the first time that he has, you know, elbowed or
bullied people. He used the word bullied. He's bully.
I said to him, no. Some parents would say he's an assertive person. He's asserting himself.
Nah, fresh. You know, at that level, at that age, I assume the man is above 40.
Sure.
And he's occupying one of the biggest political positions in the country, taking into consideration the importance and the size of KZA.
Sure.
And the decorum, understand? I mean, it's how you were brought up as well. And let me tell you why everything is wrong about that incident. Like you said, I know of two or three other incidents that happened before when he walked in through the State of the Provincial Address with the Premier. He's not the Premier. He's an MEC, number one. Number two, we have seen in a situation during the memorial service of Ntate Buthelezi where he forced the Premier to come out of, seat, who was not on there, to come and speak. And the Premier was sitting next to former President Jacob Zuma, and they just criticized Zuma. So it is all the decorum and the conduct, fresh. It's how you conduct yourself in a public space when you are a public office bearer.
And in fact, the time that he undermined
the Premier,
Dube Ncube, I thought maybe it's a male thing. Until this past weekend, I realized that, no, it's just who he is.
No, it's who he is. But let me tell you what I take, two things that I've taken wrong, and they're very serious implications on that whole process. Number one, he's not the Premier.
Sure.
He's not part of the royal family. That was a cultural event to celebrate their great-grandfather, okay? Mm-hmm. The president is there, the head of state, as well as king of the Zulu family, who is, is a very senior person as well. Now, he was an MC, fresh. He was not the MEC of what you call it, cultural affairs. He was an MC, program director, whatever you call it. I could have acted differently in that situation, being a program director. I would have led the person to finish talking and correct the perception after. Not to say the speaker, who is the prime minister of the Zulu family, was correct in what he was doing to take advantage of a political platform. Sure. Politicians do it all the time. But you could have actually allowed him to finish and then correct it. But to take the microphone and he was holding it like a young boy at school who has taken a tennis ball that belongs to him and go behind him to refuse him to talk further about this. And he claimed that the Prime Minister of Buthelezi of the Zulu family, or royal family, was not even in the program. Now, how did you then, as the program director and the MC, allow him to be there? It's not of interest to us as viewers or observers whether he was in the program or not. Sure. He was allowed, as it has been traditionally practiced, when there's events of the Zulu history or cultural affairs.
Commemorations,
it has been a natural practice.
And it's a big deal.
Yeah, I understand. So I think the ANC also has failed, they slapped him under his behind the scenes, behind the corners. But let me tell you also what is wrong. He goes on one of the national TV stations to explain himself, but he still demonstrates arrogance to say, I did that because that was a government event. Who said the royal family or royal positions are not government positions? Because they are funded by the government. They are enshrined in the constitution of this country. To recognize the monarchy, they are also being funded by us. Taxpayers' money are funding that royal Zulu family or family. But I think the gentleman needs some form of coaching, if I may call it that way. But another thing I sat down and I reflected, and I know ANC people are going to not like me for saying this. Looking at the history, I looked at the late Mr. Peter Mokaba, May his soul rest in peace. I looked at Julius Malema when he was a youth lead. I looked at Fikile Mbalula, and I look at Duma now. You can see the culture of lack of decorum, disrespect, and being bullied, and level of arrogance, you know, in a public platform. And I think this is going to do a lot of damage to the ANC, because the ANC is trying to bring a mix now of having youngsters or what they regard as young people into government positions. And if they conducted themselves this way, then people are going to start saying, I don't want to be led by a person like this one.
Sure.
But they need to do the damage. Look, I've seen them going to apologize. They're going to take some kettle to the king.
I was
going
to say, he's apologized to the king since.
Yes, so, since he has done that.
Yeah.
But he needs to change his conduct and behavior in a public space. He's a, you know, political or public office bearer.
But being a fire brand like that worked for Peter Mokaba. It worked for Juju. So maybe it's a strategy to be that guy, to be known as that guy.
Fresh, I've been called a firebrand, and I think I am a firebrand. But respect.
Sure.
Understand?
Time and place.
Timing, and you must know where to draw the line, when to engage. You can't be taking bombs and missiles into a hospital when you have to engage with patients. You must know what to do, when, and how.
But what if those patients need to learn also?
Viewers and followers, the fresh view, I'm not subscribing to that. I think respect comes a long way, and from top to bottom.
Sure.
Even if you occupy a higher position, respect of people, whether age, whether position, but respect is important.
Sure. Let's move from KZN to the Free State, the Electoral Court.
Yes.
Where the ANC and the MKP are at loggerheads over the name.
Yeah, it's no longer over the name, man.
Yeah.
We're in the country. It was a nice show. Yeah. We saw two mini rallies.
Yeah.
Fikile Mbalula addressing ANC followers and Jacob Zuma addressing MKP.
Outside court. Yes.
Yes, that's right. But it was so full.
Yeah.
On a Monday or Tuesday, but it was so full. It was like a rally, mini two rallies.
It's probably shows two things. It's good that there is people available to support your party.
Yes.
But it could also speak to the fact that people don't have jobs. So they're available, they're readily available.
I was looking at it to say, if so many thousands of people on a Tuesday can fill up the streets of Bloemfontein or Mangaung, it means people are unemployed, don't have work to do. There's so many of us who are roaming the streets.
Sure.
But
I like the way you say us.
Well,
we are available, guys.
Well,
this is our only job. So.
Yeah, so no, it's not even a job because it's not paying us.
Imagine.
You know, I was telling somebody this week that you are actually carrying this show, and there's a lot of volunteers here. That there's no money coming in, there's money going out. But going back to that, what I also liked about what happened in, now, before we get into the case itself, it's political tolerance that we saw there. For former brothers and sisters who are now political rivals, the tolerance that both could march and toy and sing and praise their leaders without any incident of violence. Thumbs up, clap hands to Umkhonto we Sizwe party followers and members, as well as the ANC followers. That is maturity that we need as a country.
But the MK party have also threatened that if they lose, there won't be an election. There might be riots. Surely that's problematic.
You know, Fresh,
To even just say it or even imply it.
When that happened last week, I missed you, and I'm glad it happened last week with the hope that you won't bring it in this week. now we are supposed to be talking about the case and the merits, and you bring that stuff. I think that it was not the MK party.
Sure.
It was an individual represents the party, the youth. A leader or supposed to be one of the youth. I think it was an unfortunate and a very reckless statement for him to say that. I actually had communicated personally in my private capacity with somebody that I know who's in the leadership of MK and said, look, this is very dangerous for the party as well as for the country and the region, KZN, and it's very volatile. Those are reckless statements. We don't want such utterances. And it's not about losing. There's ways to can put things in the public forum. And he was talking about when our leader is not allowed to be in the party list or what. But the one thing that people do not understand, the party list, you can put anybody you want there. What the IEC can do, can say this person does not qualify to be on this list because of ABC. You understand? Mm. That's one element. It has nothing to do with the court case. It has to do with the IEC processes.
Sure.
But going into the case, another correction that we should make, because that's a perception in the streets and the mainstream media, was that the ANC took MK Party to court. The first respondent in court was the IEC. Actually, the ANC took the IEC to court for registering the MK Party.
Yeah.
But Fresh, I spent almost 4 or 5 hours listening to those court proceedings. Aye, man, the ANC must start taking itself serious.
Mm.
No. The judgment is reserved on this case.
Mm.
Pardon me, it will shock me to the core should the court come back and rule in favor of the ANC based on what they've presented in court.
Okay.
I'm basing my comment on what was presented in court. First of all, they're questioning the decision of the deputy chief electoral officer. Understand, the deputy. You know what does it say? Did they say the deputy has no authority, but the chief electoral officer has the authority? What nonsense is that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I'm a CEO or chief electoral officer, I can delegate responsibilities to my deputy, and it's an internal arrangement. Mm-hmm. You can't come and question that person is acting on my behalf.
Absolutely.
It's a delegated authority, and the ANC should be knowing that delegated authority, it's normal, common practice, and it's allowed in the public service.
Sure.
The second part is, they delayed, guys. Mm. This thing was gazetted. It was in a public forum.
Mm.
They didn't do it. I laughed. I saw a tweet from Advocate Zuem Kweban saying they had until the 23rd of September last year to can oppose that. Guess what happened on the 23rd of September? They were in parliament voting to impeach Kweban. So you see, their minds were somewhere.
Sure.
But they delayed. They didn't do that action. You understand?
Mm.
And let's talk for peace sake and for progress sake in the country. What if ANC shows controversies and flames at the ballot box? Let them go to the ballot box and show them who's the boss.
Sure.
Show them who has the followers and the numbers. Why do you want to block me from contesting you if you think I've got, you have numbers above me?
But also, surely at the technical level, if the MK has been defunct for all of these years, then that name is fair game.
No, not even defunct. Never registered.
Yeah.
Number one. Number two, does not even defunct. They officially disbanded.
That's what I'm saying.
And I said,
yeah.
But let me remind South Africans what, despite COPE, Congress of the People. Congress of the People was the Congress in 1953 or Cliptown or 1955,
yes,
whatever the year was. Number two, there was also the same case. Let me remind our viewers and you, Rolf Meyer and General Bontolo Misa, they took the name United Democratic Front, UDF, which was a front of the ANC, and they formed UDM. They just changed front to movement, and they turned it into a political party because it was Rolf Meyer.
Sure.
The ANC never took them up. They never even took them to court. United Democratic, but also Fikile Mbalula was talking yesterday about Mr. Mbalula, as the SG of there, was talking about the colors of our party and the logo. The logo is something else. But when he started saying the colors, I had a big problem there. Who's that green, gold, and black are colors of the ANC? The PAC has green, gold, and black. Many other parties have that. And the logo, is it the logo of the ANC or is the logo of Mkhonto-SC? So I think this is going to backfire very badly to the ANC. They should have not embarked on this exercise at this time. I think it was very bad. But also, they keep on saying, again, the Secretary General of the ANC says Jacob Zuma is no longer the member of the ANC. But then he goes further and says, we wrote to him after he announced on the 16th of December that he's going to campaign. He's still the member. Now, he's on suspension. Being on suspension does not mean you're no longer a member. Even if he's innocent, there's never been a process to say he's keeping quiet, he's not responding, he's blue ticking us, therefore we are chasing away or we are firing from the party. He's still a member of the ANC on record. They haven't arrived, the party hasn't arrived at a point where they say Zuma is not their member.
Sure.
And then you go and you say Jacob Zuma every day talks. You're in a press conference after the court. You go and you say Jacob Zuma in everything he does, he talks of the ANC, ANC because he's the member. But you also say you never talked about the Jacob Zuma. But you were there sitting and talking about Jacob Zuma. So it's making them look clumsy. It's actually to their disadvantage. And if I was a member or the leader of the ANC, I will just keep quiet and leave MK to campaign and focus on my campaign as a political party.
Sure.
That is trouble there. It's very troubled, it's being challenged. I'll focus on the ground forces. I'll focus on recruiting and trying to convince people that we are still the best party to vote for.
In fact, our guest yesterday on the show was a former TS Records exec, TK Ngcisa.
Ngcisa, yes, and, the ANC leader in Gauteng.
Yes. And is it treasurer, I think?
I think it's the treasurer general, either of Gauteng or Ekurhuleni. Yes.
Okay. So TK was saying that he believes the ANC, despite all the challenges, is still very healthy and that they'll get more than 50%. What are your thoughts?
Look, almost every ANC person that I know, and I said almost, because there are those who are honest with the situation, are saying they will get more than 50%. They think they are still the best. And let me tell you the mistake they are making. Their trump card is, if not us, then who?
Sure.
And you see, that's where the problem is. You cannot say because the opposition is weak or small, therefore people must automatically come to us.
Sure.
You should be able to put tangible things on the table. The EFF was not existing, 15 years back. And look, they are occupying between 13 and 15%. The Patriotic Alliance in local government. You can't undermine these small parties. They are chowing you chunk by chunk. I still think the ANC will get the majority votes in this country. But I don't. I still very strongly believe that they will not make it to 50%. And it's getting worse by day. But I also acknowledge that the ANC is damn good in going to the people in the last minutes before elections.
Sure.
They have proved over the years that in the last 3 weeks before the elections, aye, Baba, those guys, they are smart.
Sure.
But the people who used to do that, for them, the Ace Makashules, the Jacob Zuma, the former premier of Mpumalanga, the former premier of the so-called of the Northwest, the so-called the A-team, or what did they call the Premier League. People who know the ground, look at what Marius
Fransman
did for the ANC in the Western Cape.
Sure.
Understand? The last time the ANC shook the DA in the Western Cape, it was because Fransman was there. After that, there was a drop.
Sure.
Look at Kosi Ntsorangkopa, how he held the ANC glued up in the city of Tshwane. After Ramkopa, the ANC never recovered Tshwane. So the people, some are still in the ANC, majority are out. Who know the ground and who know how to convince the masses are out or are occupying other positions that are, obscuring them. Understand? Right now, the Western Cape have nominated Mena Lady Pando as they are one of their preferred candidates. Look, I like Mayor Pando. I think she's doing very well. But too late, and again, we saw what happened with the Toko Didiza story in Tshwane.
Sure.
I think the ANC is playing with fire in the Western Cape to think Mayor Pando can contest Fransman as well as the DA and all that. And after they mentioned Naledi Pando and Fransman's party, you know what I came to? The Western Cape may just be another province that will go to the coalition. I think the DA has been weakened in the Western Cape.
You think so?
With Fransman's arrival, with the ANC most probably deploying a Naledi Pando there,
sure,
with the Patriotic Alliance targeting the colored community who are in majority and being for the first time contesting provincial and national elections,
sure,
it's going to have an impact on the DA. But I also looked during the course of the week of the population demographics of the East, of the Western Cape. Bro, if you believe in, what do they call this thing, in conspiracy theories,
sure,
I have a conspiracy theory. What has been happening in the Western Cape, it is not a true reflection of the population demographics there. I take the Democratic Alliance as a more white party, even if it has black people.
Sure.
And then you find that black people, African people and colored, so-called colored people in the Western Cape, they are 82 to 84% of the population. And somebody said, but the Western Cape is full of colored and white. I'm like, no, white people are less than 10% there. You understand? So why would 82 to 84% of the citizens or residents of the Western Cape vote for the DA that is only focusing on the city of Cape Town and not the surrounding areas? I think something doesn't add up. It doesn't make political sense to me.
Therefore what are you implying?
Therefore, the story and the conspiracy theories that there could have been a negotiated or interference with rigging of votes all along, or a negotiated thing. You know, we know that in 1994, I mean, people can take me up on that, there was a negotiated settlement that, for Pete's sake, in Qatar, that joined the elections 3 days before elections, will take KZN. What if the Western Cape was the same arrangements for the DA after the ANC merged and swallowed the new National Party? Understand?
But where would the IEC come in this negotiation?
Look, fresh, the IEC, we spoke about Home Affairs and other entities. The IEC is an arm of government. It is not unique from infiltration, malagnosis and corruption. It's not. And I'm not saying the IEC is corrupt. I'm saying it's not immune to that, because there's human beings working there. Some of the human beings working there, they are deployees of political parties. You understand? So the issue of the Western Cape, I'm glad that there are new political parties now who are talking of, we are going to guard the ballot boxes.
Sure.
With our, what do you call them, the station representatives. There's many now who are saying, we are going to guard them, because either the people of the Western Cape, and I'm talking about black people, which are the so-called colors and Africans, either they do not vote.
Sure.
Or they are very loyal to the DA. And if they are very loyal to the DA, then I ask myself, why would they be loyal to a political party that is doing nothing for them? So there's other things that went through my mind during the course of the week.
Because I'm struggling to believe that the IEC would be complicit in any conspiracy theory. Your theory for me is not conspiracy right now. If anything, I think just give the DA the credit in the Western Cape that they've convinced people that us over anyone else. That's where I am.
And like I said, either black people in the Western Cape, they do not vote, so the little that are voting are giving DA power, or they strongly believe in the DA.
Sure.
There are other conspiracy theories that one day I may be proven right. But yeah, let's see with the coming elections.
In fact, there's another conspiracy theory that says that the MK party was a deliberate ploy that if the ANC loses votes, rather they lose to this faction, that after all is said and done, they're going to come back together and form a coalition.
Kuvesh, I think Fresh has been on leave. We had this discussion. We are not repeating. You see, being on leave, we discussed it with that got me my phone ringing the whole of last week. We discussed
it.
And I said to Eugene, for the very first time in this platform, I broke the news to him. And I said, by the way, this whole creation of splinter groups from the ANC, it was a strategy to say, while we are being weakened, let's create alternatives.
So that they can cannibalize the other parties also.
Yes, but I don't know whether South Africans don't listen or don't pay attention. President Jacob Zuma said openly and honestly to say he wants to fix the ANC. And by joining and supporting and promoting controversies is to fix the ANC and bring up the real ANC that the people wanted, because the ANC has lost direction. So I do not rule out, coincidentally, the political party that I belong to, the leader of my political party was meeting MK leaders this week. And I wrote to him and I said, you know, with the charterists, meaning ANC people, whether they are in the ANC or outside the ANC, you cannot trust them. That's something they've done very well, having front. The UDF was a front, you understand? They've done very well in bringing people back together. After creating an impression that they have differences.
So are you saying they are very good at Trojan horsing?
They are. They are very good. The ANC is very good in that. You understand? Yeah. And it will not surprise me, Fresh. I spoke to one of former independent candidates in the Vaal last night. We had a very lengthy call. And I was saying to him, he was like, "But Sam, what's going on? Some things don't add up for me." And I said, "Let's not talk on WhatsApp. Let me call you on the safe line." And when I explained to him what is the plan after the elections, he was shocked. He said to me, "No, now after you explain it makes sense." I don't say that will happen, But I've said on this show,
sure,
after if ANC gets, for example, 40%, I'm making an example, and MK gets 20%, and ATM and EFF, they get 15 and 5 and 10, they can have two-thirds majority. They will come and sit on a table. Who ever imagined that Ntate Julius Malema will share tea with Ntate Jacob Zuma? And in Julius's words this past week, map the way forward.
Absolutely.
I mean, Julius Malema and Zuma, that I said to people, Julius made so many members and followers of the EFF to hate and think Zuma is a bad person. But today they drink tea together and they map the way forward of the country. What does it do to those followers and members? You understand? So it won't surprise me that after the elections, MK, EFF, but Julius has said EFF only if it is Paul Mashatile,
sure,
on the platform. And I'm one of the people who said Cyril Ramaphosa is not coming back, not because of he's going to lose, but I think the man came and he messed up, or he did what he was supposed to do, and he's going to leave. He's going to be blamed if the ANC lose. Sure. You know what people are going to say in the ANC? The ANC never lost power, sure, until Ramaphosa came in. So it will give Paul Mashatile an opportunity to rise. But look, we are speculating. We are applying our minds towards the elections.
Sure.
These are going not only to be the biggest, but the most interesting elections this country is going to have ever in the history.
Let's, in fact, speaking of elections, let's run to Russia quickly. President Putin's landslide victory.
Yes.
Could it be called a landslide victory in a place like Russia, where opposition members are sometimes poisoned or sent to the Arctic where they die under mysterious circumstances?
Or freeze to death.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or they're victimized.
Look, you know, Fred, somebody said to me, why do you think there's democracy there? I said, what is democracy? What makes us think that the American or the British or the South African form of democracy is the correct and the real democracy?
Or is the preferred one?
Or is the preferred one. There is democracy in Russia because people go and vote.
But how many people vote, though?
Oh, by the way, it's one of the countries whereby you are forced by legislation to go and vote.
Okay.
You have, like in Brazil, it's the same. You have to vote.
Mm.
Understand? But also, Fresh, even if we say they're intimidation, let's say the opposition, as you said, or what candidates,
sure,
are being victimized or poisoned or whatever. Let's assume that happens. Let's talk about the voters,
sure,
the ordinary citizens. When they're in a ballot box, they are alone. They are on their own day. They can vote for whoever they want.
What if they feel, what if I'm being watched?
Then fresh dictatorship, dictatorship.
No, but for real,
the order of the day.
No, but for real, I mean,
for all those millions, all of them are scared that they are being watched. How many millions of people you can watch at a time? But also look at it this way, and I'm not defending Putin. I'm simply saying, who said other systems are bad? The man. 80-something percent, fresh. 80-something, and by the way, something that people do not know. Do you know that he was an independent candidate this time around? He was not a candidate for the Communist Party because he had already served two terms.
Sure.
Some people say three or four because he started as a prime minister.
No, but obviously he keeps exhausting.
Yeah, whatever he's placed on.
And then he goes to the next
level.
Next level.
Yeah.
I'm sure after this period where he's an independent, he'll find another reason to come back.
Look, no, he'll be old that time. But for me, and right or wrong, and I've said it even with the ANC, right or wrong, the fact that the majority of Russians stand up and vote for him, whether being scared or not, it is what is important for me, Fresh. And look, the man has done so well for Russia in the times that since he has been the prime minister twice, the president twice, now the president again, he's chairing BRICS this year. There's some important things happening in Russia. Russia is the current chair of BRICS. They resumed duty the 1st of January.
Sure.
The BRICS summit this year is going to Kazan in Russia, so he's hosting them. And I learned this week from a contact at the Russian embassy that the deputy minister, Serge Rybov or something like that, of foreign affairs in Russia, issued a statement to say they are putting a halt on new members joining. It's news that came out this week, joining BRICS. And let me tell you, why is it happening? I think Russia is being very careful of infiltration and dominance by NATO in the West. Sure. Because the way everybody wants to join BRICS, Russia is putting a hold on that. We are not going to do it between now and the next summit.
It could be Trojan horses.
Yes, you understand. Yeah. So, look, President Putin is a politician.
Sure.
We all know that he's a former spy and he has played very well in politics. And for me, the Russians like him. Whether forced or not, he has done well for that country. Look at the economy, even under sanctions.
In fact, it's wild that with all the sanctions, the isolation and everything else,
one of the biggest growing
economies. They're thriving.
Yes, they're thriving. The economy is growing. But when we started our show last year, February, we spoke about it to say, it is the Americans and the Europeans that are going to suffer. Russia will grow. We did talk about it on this platform.
Sure.
They are thriving. The economy is booming. It's growing. I mean, the man had a plan. The thing is, they had a plan.
Sure.
They didn't just go into war with NATO.
Sure.
Understand? They had a plan to say, we are going to start this. And the Chinese do the same. You understand?
Sure.
They plan 10 to 30 years ahead. When they come and implement, they had planned. But the advantage he had is, during the planning phase, he was the prime minister.
Sure.
During the implementation phase, he's the president of the country. So there is continuity.
So now he's the independent winner.
So
there can be more continuity.
Then there can be more continuity.
And possibly more growth.
Exactly. You know, and one thing quickly before you close on Russia, something also serious happened. Did you see that there were 14 South African mercenaries who were killed by the Russian and captured and killed by the Russian forces? During this war, so we have South Africans participating in the war in Ukraine, and next time we should talk about it. On our constitution doesn't allow to be mercenaries.
Oh yes, yes.
And somebody was saying it's none of the government problem. It is a government problem for two reasons.
Mm-hmm.
One, they are South African citizens. It's
sure.
unconstitutional. Two, what happens to their mortal remains that has to come back home? You understand? Be granted a death certificate for the families to gain.
It still becomes our
administrative issue. So it's an important thing. But yeah, from my side, congratulations and thumbs up to President Putin, whether we like him or not. And Trump is going to come and take over power in the U.S. I'm predicting that's going to happen.
Sure.
And back home, whether Ntate Ramaphosa and the ANC will come back and take over the country, I doubt it. The ANC may still go into a coalition and rule and run the country.
Sure.
The most dangerous part of domestic votes and election is that we may end up in the current state of affairs. The ANC and the DA may go to bed,
sure.
and nothing will change after.
Absolutely. Yeah. We are out of time, but I wanted to ask you something quickly.
Yes, yes.
So the House of Speaker Mapisa Nakula, former defense minister.
Yes.
The Hawks raided her home the other day.
Yeah, for 5 hours.
For 5 hours they were there. She insists that she's done nothing wrong. She's innocent. Was this a show of so that there seems to be something happening, or you believe something is happening?
Look, Fresh, I believe something is happening.
Sure.
I'll tell you why. First of all, this case is old. It was Bonto Lomisa and the UDM who brought this up to Parliament last year. And there's claims from the National Prosecuting Authority and the UDM and opposition to say this has been postponed by her unavailability.
Sure.
Okay, to can answer to that. The fact that the NPA and the Hawks, which is the inspectorate or a law enforcement unit of the NPA, to arrive at a point to now do a physical search, it means the case has matured enough. There's prima facie evidence to can say we are taking to another step. They wouldn't just go and search your house if they are not believing and convinced that they've got a case.
Something.
Yes.
But you've been in my ear already. The issue has been in my ear already. Surely that gives me time to burn anything I need to burn and hide any bodies I need to hide.
Unfortunately, delayed justice or delayed law enforcement, it will result such. I don't think they'll find anything. I mean, as you said, it's almost a year or like 8 months since this thing came up, and they only decided to act now. It gave her a chance. But also, you know, from the political perspective, what I don't like about this whole thing and what I think is incorrect, it's for the ruling party through their chief whip, Mayor Majodina.
Yes, Pemi.
And the Speaker of Parliament to stand up and talk on behalf of not the speaker, the spokesperson of parliament, to come and talk on behalf of the speaker. Number one, this alleged incident happened when she was the Minister of
Defense.
That's number one. Two, this is in her personal capacity to be alleged that she has taken 2.3 million of bribes, okay? Now, why do you use the resources of parliament to defend and explain a situation? It's okay to say the Speaker of Parliament is not at work, guess during which day? The last day where the president is answering questions in parliament. Now that's a very serious, you know, indictment actually. But they must stop answering or being her spokesperson, because it was not that department. I agree with Majodina on that. But it's also in her private capacity.
True.
So the National Assembly is supposed to stay away from this. The right thing and the moral thing to do, it would have been for the speaker to excuse herself from this process. Sure. And I'm not saying she's guilty. I'm basing it on the moral fiber, on the ethics of occupying the third. I said to somebody, that is the third most senior position. There is the president, is the deputy, then comes the speaker, then comes the chief justice. Sure. You understand? So look how important that arm is. It's the head of one of the arms. The president is, she may actually be even the second, if you look at it, you know, technically and practically.
In terms of department
or arms of the state, because the president is the head of the executive authority. She is the head of the legislative authority. Then we've got the chief justice, who's the head of the judicial authority. So she may be the second in charge in the country. And why do you want to still occupy a position? You are not guilty. We leave that out. But for ethical purposes, you are occupying the second highest office of the land. And step aside, not the ANC step aside rule, but the ethical practice to say, while I am being investigated, let me tell you why I'm suggesting that. If this thing goes ahead to court and she's been charged formally, it is going to, because she's employed by the National Assembly, it is going to be the National Assembly that is going to preside whether to impeach her or not. Now, do you want to continue when there are allegations sitting on a chair and overseeing a process that may in future becomes a process that looks into your fitness to can hold that office? I think it's not correct. I think the National Speaker of the National Assembly or the Speaker of the National Assembly should recuse herself from this position until her name is being cleared.
Sure.
And then, anyway, she's left with 5 weeks in office. And I don't see her coming back.
I was supposed to be wrapping up with that, but like you're saying, it's 5 weeks in office for this administration.
Yes.
And it's only now that President Ramaphosa is saying, oh, we finally found a way to do lifestyle audits. He promised these 5-6 years ago.
I thought of you last week when he said that, because remember last month we discussed the scorecard, the performance appraisers of ministers. Yeah, my man, here, 5 weeks. Well, it was 10 weeks, really, or 9 weeks. I don't understand how the president is thinking and why is he delaying to implement such important thing. What's going to happen in checking the lifestyle audits of these ministers? I'm telling you, these people are busy now picking their bags, not because they are fired, not because they won't come back. They may come back in different portfolios.
Absolutely.
So doing their lifestyle audit in their personal capacity, who's going to oversee that? Understand? So I think it's the president and the AEC trying to show that they are working, they're acting, they're implementing the Zondo Commission resolution. I mean, there are 200, and I'm quoting President Ramaphosa, 200 Zondo Commission recommendations for the government to act. They've been acted. They're only acting now when on the eve at 5-2 by the current 6th administration. Now, I think it's a politicking as well as the election, you know, process that the ANC is trying to say to the people, we are now acting. And I won't buy that as a citizen.
Sure. Buzan.
My brother.
It's good to see you again.
Yeah, it's good for you to be back. I told our guest, Eugene, to say he must not get comfortable on that chair. But thanks for coming back fresh and all the best.
Where do we get a hold of you?
Nothing has changed. Butzangm@gmail.com, 082-485-9100. And on social media, handles is @butzangm.
And that was this week's edition of Politrix with Botsang Muilwa. Coming to you from Amp Studios, downtown Jozi, we are part of the Africa Podcast Network. Shout out Pezulu Works, Trevor and his team for the cinematography, Otis the Flow Fraser for all of the imaging, and the guest, the main man, Botsang Mudimuame Muilwa. Shout out to our creative producer, Kuvesh Mohan, and our show producer, Keleso Mudisa King. Email us at waw@africapodcastnetwork.com. Till next week, have a great Politrix week in spite of yourselves.